Well, it was a ridiculous display of immaturity. While he may have been a mighty warrior and a gifted general, he was also self-centered, egotistical, short-tempered, and narrow-minded. And considering those were his good qualities, it's easy to understand why everyone, including the king, became a little bit anxious when Naaman didn't get his way. But sometimes, however, even the most gifted of generals and the most mightiest of warriors find themselves in situations that they can't win. And so it was when Naaman realized he had leprosy. Now, on the one hand, he was luckier than most who suffered with the disease. At least he was allowed to keep his position, his possessions, and his family. But on the other hand, he was smart enough to know that it wasn't going to last. There would come a time that he would no longer be able to function. It was also only a matter of time before his family would desert him. After all, leprosy was not only disfiguring, it was deadly. It was highly contagious and virtually incurable. Naaman understood this. But he wasn't the only one. There was his wife. She suffered with him. She would look at her husband and realize that despite the fact he was consulting all of the physicians and trying all the potions that were available, nothing was happening. His leprosy, no doubt, would get worse as time went on. She was anxious. She was worried. She really didn't know what to do. And then one day, a young girl, ironically, a slave who had been taken away from her family in one of Naaman's many raids on Israel, came forward and said, "You know, there's this miracle worker back home. If only your husband could see him, perhaps he could be cured." When Naaman's wife told him what the child had said, he wasted absolutely no time going to the king and telling him that there was this man in Israel. A man who could cure him. He had to ask the king's permission to leave. And the king was more than willing to grant it to him. Not only did he give him permission to leave, but he gave him a letter of introduction. And so Naaman hurried home and he loaded his chariots with enough wealth to bribe even the holiest of men. And then he set out for Israel. Too bad he didn't think to ask a few minor questions before he left. Like, what was the name of the prophet? And where did he live? But not to worry, because Naaman was a brilliant general, right? And so he entered Israel and he went to the king's house, to the palace, and he gave the king the letter that said heal Naaman. Now, what gave him the idea that the king was going to be excited to see him? After all, Naaman had already invaded Israel, had taken off several people, and had stolen their property. And now he was standing before him saying, "Cure me?" And if Naaman didn't get what Naaman wanted, somebody suffered for it. Do you understand what the king was thinking? He had a major meltdown for a very good reason. And while he was busy bellowing in the palace, someone went and told the prophet Elisha what was going on. Elisha finally decided to let the king off the hook, and he sent word saying, "Send him to me. I'll deal with him." It wasn't long before the general with his entire entourage pulled up in front of Elisha's house. Now, there were no doubt those who were standing around that were quite impressed with everything he brought. Remember the gold, the silver, the clothes, the slaves, the servants. But there was one person who wasn't impressed. Elisha. He refused to come out of the house. And instead, he sent his servant out, who said to the mighty, powerful general, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times. Naaman was furious. Despite the fact that he had just spent several days, if not weeks, on a journey to find a prophet who could perform miracles, despite the fact that he was willing to pay a small fortune in exchange for that miracle, he was so outraged, first, that the prophet would not come out and greet him properly, and second, that his instructions were so ridiculously simple, "Go take a bath." He refused to follow them. He went storming off, complaining about all the wrongs that had been perpetuated against him and how ridiculous the prophet really was. Now, the tragedy of the story is that Naaman is not alone. Anyone who has ever suffered from a debilitating illness, be it physical, mental, or spiritual, knows how desperate we can become. When we suffer long enough, the only thing we can think about is finding that someone who can relieve us of the pain. We want someone to make it stop. And when we finally get to that point, we, like Naaman, are willing to put everything on the line. We'll go to great lengths to find that one person who can help. The problem, however, is that even when we get that desperate, we too often let our pride and our ego get in the way of receiving the very thing that can restore our health and make us whole. You know, Naaman wanted the cure to be challenging. He didn't want it to be simple. He wanted to be able to go back to his own country and tell everyone everything he had had to suffer, everything he had had to do in order to be made whole. And in case we want to criticize him, well, when we're told that what we need to do is eat right, exercise, stop living off our adrenaline, sleep 8 hours a night, spend time in regular contemplation and prayer, How many of us willingly embrace the changes? It's too simple. We want the cure to be as challenging as it can possibly be. If you don't believe me, sit around and listen to people compare diagnoses and treatments. Even when, through no fault of our own, we face that debilitating illness or injury, how often are we told that if we really want to get better, we're going to have to follow through with the treatments, with the therapy, with the plan? And how often do we follow the instructions? Like Naaman, we want to be whole. We want to be healthy and we want to be happy. And that is exactly why we need to consider the leper who fell at the feet of our Lord. You know, the one who said, "If you want, you can make me whole." His healing occurred, not through a spectacular act of endurance, but in the moment when he placed his complete trust in God. So Christians, listen up. Whatever disease is holding you captive, whatever it is that is keeping you from being whole, it's a very serious problem. You need to seek the help that you can get to be healed and to be made whole. But remember, even in the midst of the uncertainty, even in the midst of the pain, the treatments, the follow-through, you can find that quiet center where the healing really begins. And yes, it is as simple as placing your trust in God. And if that isn't the good news, what is? To God be the glory. Amen.